this morning is this: the Bible in U.S. history. The Bible in U.S. history. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever said something stupid, and then after you said... Some of you are too quick to raise your hand. Said something stupid, and after you said it, you felt like an idiot. How many of you have done it more than once? How many of you have done it so often you can't forget them? Yeah. Well, imagine with me for a moment being King George III of England. In his diary on July 4th, 1776, he wrote this: "Nothing of importance this day." Little did he know that that day the landscape of the world would be changed forever. And you know, the farther that you and I get away from July 4th, 1776, we can start thinking that nothing of importance happened that day. It's easy to get caught up in our plans for July 4th, maybe backyard barbecues or going to the beach or running home and watching the Nathan's hot dog eating contest or ball games or mini vacation or time with family and friends and or going on a motorcycle ride after church today for lunch and ice cream. Judy and I are leaving today to go spend some time with a mom who we haven't seen for quite a while. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Those are all part of celebration of family and friends and our country. But let's not forget the men that put this beautifully called, crafted Declaration of Independence together for us. The bold courage that it took to sign it. And the freedoms that we rejoice today because of it. Not only should we remember the importance of this event, we cannot allow our society to rewrite the importance the Bible played in constructing this important document. Contrary to what the media will tell you today, contrary to what many politicians will tell you today, contrary to what our teachers are teaching in our high schools and universities today, the Bible was a huge part of the courage it took to sign that document. It was the source of their wisdom to write it. And today, we are reaping the blessings from it. But you don't have to believe me. Listen to these testimonies from the men that were actually involved in it. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said this: "It is impossible to rightly govern without the Bible and God." Patrick Henry, Revolutionary general, legislator, the voice of liberty, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, governor of Virginia, said this: "The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed." John Langdon, he also a signer of the Declaration of Independence, a signer of the Constitution. And he said this in his will. He said, "First, I commend my soul to the infinite mercies of God in Christ Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father, who died and rose again, that he might be the Lord of the dead and of the living, professing to believe and hope in the joyful scripture doctrine of a resurrection to eternal life." Benjamin Rush. How many of you have heard of Benjamin Rush? Pat, are you lying again? All right, Benjamin. Well, the reason I even mentioned Benjamin, he does have something to say. But the town that we came from to be here, it was called Rushville, New York. And that's where Benjamin Rush was from. So we're celebrities, all right? Because we're from the town of Benjamin Rush. But he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And he said this: "My only hope of salvation is the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." John Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States, diplomat, Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, U.S. Representative, said this: "My hopes of a future life are founded upon the gospel of Christ." Francis Scott Key, U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, he was author of the Star Spangled Banner, which we sung earlier, said this: "May I always hear that you are following the guidance of that blessed Spirit that will lead you into all truth, leaning on that almighty arm that has been extended to deliver you, trusting only in the only Savior, and going on in your way to Him, rejoicing." Robert Treat Paine, military chaplain, signer of the Declaration of Independence, Attorney General for Massachusetts, but he still was a good guy, even though he's from Massachusetts, and judge, said this: "I believe the Bible to be the written word of God and to contain in it the whole rule of faith and manners." Roger Sherman, also a signer of the Declaration of Independence, also a signer of the Constitution. He was considered the master builder of the Constitution. He was a judge. He was the framer of the Bill of Rights, a U.S. senator. And he said this: "I believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are a revelation from God and a complete rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him." Daniel Webster, U.S. Senator, Secretary of State, defender of the Constitution, said this: "The Bible is a book which teaches man his own individual responsibility, his own dignity, and his equality with his fellow man." The 7th President of the United States, Andrew Jackson, said this: "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." You ever hear people talking about this? Very rarely. Very rarely. The 25th President of the United States, William McKinley, said this: "The more profoundly we study this wonderful book and the more closely we observe its divine precepts, the better citizens we will become and the higher will be our destiny as a nation." Did you ever listen to what God had to say about His word? He said this: "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Isaac Newton said this: "If all the great books in the world would have life, and they would have a great convention, when the Bible entered the room, all the other books in the world would bow down before the word of God." Why do you think Isaac Newton and all these other leaders of our founding leaders in our country, why do you think the word of God was so emphasized in their life? Why do you think it was so important to them? Yeah, because it's important to God. He said this about His word: "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This book, the Bible, the book that we are committed to at Center Barnstead Christian Church, the book that we preach from and teach from, this book is alive. This book is infallible. It's inspired. And it's the inerrant or perfect word of God. I believe that if Jesus was to show up today physically at Center Barnstead Christian Church, first of all, we would be, I'm not sure what we'd be, but we would be something. But if He was to show up physically today, I honestly believe that He would not tell us anything that He hasn't already told us in this book. And why do I say that? I say that because that's what God told Peter to tell us when he wrote, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. God says everything. I'm glad we have a resident theologian with us this morning, because Dan Ward, tell us, what does everything mean? Yeah. He says everything we need to know, everything we need for life and godliness is found in this book. People have tried to destroy the Bible over centuries, yet it continues to be the number one seller in the world. Why would that be? Why do you think that is? Well, I believe it's because there is a need within every one of us. There's a need within every one of us that cannot be met without the Word of God. The Bible says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. This is the message. And the message is heard through the words of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The writer, the psalmist said, how sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Psalms 119, 103 to 106. Apart from the word of God, my friends, remember, there is no light. There is no salvation. There is no meaning for life. And as the world tries to downplay the Bible, remember what Jesus said. When he said this, he said, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not until the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will be, by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus is saying, everything in this book is going to happen. Everything in this that is written in this book will happen. And this book will remain until everything is complete. That's why the Word of God was important to those men and women. That's why the Word of God needs to be important to us that are men and women. Over 500 years ago, after discovering America, Christopher Columbus wrote this in his diary. He says, it was the Lord that put this in my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with the rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. Columbus said that it was God working through the Word of God that gave him all he needed to fulfill the task at hand. These men that we listened to this morning, these men read the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. And then they lived out the Word of God. And because they were committed to the Bible, because they were committed to this book, they were able to create the greatest nation that this world has ever seen. Yet, you look at our nation today, we deny and even take the Word of God out of our lives, out of our churches. We're even passing laws to take the Bible out of motel rooms. We're taking the Bible out of schools and universities. And when we try to bring it into the marketplace, we're made fun of and people scoff at it. My friends, we have fallen a long ways from what our founding fathers taught and believed. Do you know that the Bible used to be the textbook? I believe right up until the early 1900s was the textbook in public schools. Do you know that the first universities in our nation, Yale, Princeton, and Harvard, were started to train young men to be missionaries, to preach the Word of God? Do you even know what the letters YMCA stand for? Yeah. Young Men's Christian Association. If you go to visit Washington, above the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments given to us through the Word of God. And as you enter the Supreme Court, you will see Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. Now, if you were to go to the Senate House Chambers, you will find written, "In God we trust." This very phrase, "In God we trust," is the very thrust behind what brought this nation into being. You look at all of our founding documents, and you will see the Word of God and godly principles all through them. And why? Because these men and women believed the Word of God. And it not only changed their lives, it changed the life of this nation. Now, were all our founding fathers Christians? No. But neither is everybody that comes to church. But the Bible so influenced the lives of these men and women that it permeated everything they did and permeated everyone that came in contact with them. My friends, the future of our country will not be determined by which country has the most missiles. The future of our country will not be determined by the country that has the most bombs. The future of our country will not be determined by which political party is in power. The future of this country will be determined by how much God has of his people. In 1832, Noah Webster said this. He said, "The principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be the accessory to all the public disorder which society is doomed to suffer." Think we're living that out today? Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You and I need to heed this warning, not only as Americans, but as Christians as well. What we see happening in the world, we also see happening within the church, because people are not living their lives as God instructed them to live their lives. It's a fact that someone or something will control you. Someone or something will control your life, and whoever controls you will determine your fate. Horace Greeley said this, "It is impossible, either physically or mentally, to enslave a Bible-reading people." My friends, we cannot separate our blessings in this country, our blessings in our church, our blessing in our personal lives from the position that God expects this book to have in our lives. I would dare say that every one of us here this morning has at least one copy of a Bible in your home. And I would dare say that probably most of us have multiple copies, and we probably have multiple versions, translations of the Bible in our homes. Yet there are people living right now that would give anything, anything, just to have a portion of this book. Here's some actual missionary footage of a group of Chinese people that are receiving the Word of God for the very first time.
Give me Jesus. Give me
Thank you. 些帮助我们的弟兄姊妹，他们的血和泥倒出来的。
就是我们将这个手去使用，真是我们最需要的事情。
Do you think that our nation has taken this book too lightly? Do you think the church today is taking this book too lightly? Has our nation chosen to walk away from the Bible's principles? Has God's people walked away from God's principles? Has our nation stopped taking the time to read God's word for direction, to go to the Bible for advice and for instruction in righteousness? Can the same be said about the church? History has shown us if people put God in his rightful place, he will bless those people. It's not only true of countries, but it's true of you and me as well. If we put God in his rightful place in our families, in our work, in our relationships, in every aspect of our lives, we can expect God to intercede in our lives, in our problems, in our finances, as well as in our families. We are living out the consequences of a country that has taken the word of God out of its fiber. Let us not be so foolish as to do the same thing. Although it's true that God's word encourages and strengthens the believer, it also brings conflict and turmoil to the heart of those that choose to live in their sin, their wickedness, and their perversion. So when people do not want to be convicted by this book, what do? They try to get rid of the book. They start ignoring the book. They won't read the book. If you want to destroy our country, then let them kick this book out of our country. If you want to destroy your life and the life of your family, all you have to do is ignore this book. And you must, the Bible says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves, how? Wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. When people walk away from the Word of God, life doesn't make sense. Do you find it interesting that the very ones that would advocate abortion are many times the same ones that think that spanking is an inhumane punishment? Those people that will spend tens of thousands of dollars to save a whale or spend exorbitant amounts of money to prolong the life of their dog or their cat are many times the same people that are in favor of euthanasia. Try to find one loving parent that would not be proud to have their child live out the Ten Commandments. Yet, they're trying to tear those Ten Commandments out of our society. Why is tolerance expected, except when it comes to the Bible? It doesn't make any sense unless you understand that this is a consequence of taking God out of our society. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give him counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. You know, for many, I believe the reason the Bible is resisted is because many people today don't want to be accountable to anyone but themselves. We are living in a time where people want to set their own standards. And although God does give us that option, there will be a day of reckoning. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And you know what? When that happens, people will not be able to say that they were not warned. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. That is why they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. They must experience the full terror of the path they have chosen. For they are simpletons who turn away from me to death. They are fools, and their own complacency will destroy them. But all who listen to me will live in peace and safety, unafraid of harm. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 to verse 33. Bottom line, when you and I remove the Bible from our life and from our society, when we remove the Word of God, we lose the fear of God. And we see it today. We are living in a time when people have no reverence for God and no fear of Him. You want to know why people, not you, because you don't say stupid things. But do you want to know why people say stupid things? Because they have lost their source of wisdom. Reverence for the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. The rewards of wisdom come to all who obey Him. Praise His name forever. Psalms 111, verse 10. The writer of Proverbs says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in understanding." Proverbs 9 and verse 10. If you love your country, if you love your church, if you love your family, then take this book and make it the fiber of your life. Spend more time reading it, memorizing it, and then spend time sharing it. If we do that, not only will it change you and change the people in your life for all eternity, it will change, things will begin to change. And it won't happen because I said so. It will happen because God said so. He said, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, preserving them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. And what is our doctrine? Our doctrine is this: the Word of God. Let me just close with this thought, and we'll be done. As we enter this election season, we all need to vote. If you are old enough to vote and you're registered to vote, you need to vote. I mean, I've heard some people say, you know, I'm not going to vote because it's just a vote of the lesser of two evils. Well, even if that's the case, if you vote, we still get the lesser of two evils. All right? So I encourage you to vote. But don't be discouraged if your person that you vote for loses. And when you look at the quality of people that are running, don't become suicidal, all right? When it looks like the world is going to self-destruct, and there are days, I don't think we know, realize it, but I think there are days that we come pretty close to it. But when it looks like to you that the world will self-destruct, or you feel that terror is getting the upper hand, do not fear. See, in the end, it's not what man can or cannot do. In the end, it's what God can do. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17. My friends, we need to pray for our leaders. We need to be appreciative of those that have served in the military. And I can't speak for you, but I think we need to be pretty darn happy and appreciative of our military and the defense that we have towards the evil that wants to destroy us. But never, as believers, never put your trust in those things. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. My friends, we are living in a chaotic world. And sometimes it looks like it's totally out of control. My friends, it's not. We don't know God's plan. We don't know God's mind. But we can know this book. And those of you that have been coming to my study in Revelation, you see how things are going to end. You see how we are seemingly spiraling downward to what God says will happen in the end days. But don't be fearful. Don't be fearful, because God is in control. He is the one that holds everything together. And I want to close with that thought this morning in a song. I'm going to ask you to stand.